We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Today we're talking about writing better endings, endings to your stories, whether you're writing a novel, a screenplay, a short story, anything that you are writing that is a creative narrative. How do you bring it to an ending? A lot of writers struggle with this moment because there's so many different ways to handle the ending of a story. And this has kind of been a theme lately on my channel. If you are following my channel, you know that I've been talking about endings recently. Last month, we did a live training all about 10 unforgettable ways to end your story. And in that live training, I talked about all the different some of them well-known, some of them not as well-known, literary devices for ending your story, whether that's the plot twist, the cliffhanger, the tragic ending, the happily ever after, and many more. And in that live training, I gave you guys a bunch of story examples and also some prompts, some questions to ask yourself while you craft your amazing, unforgettable ending for your story. But in today's podcast, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this through some conversation between me and Kate. We're going to explore the most important things to remember, kind of the quintessential story endings, important things to remember when you are crafting the last chapter or the final scene or even just the climax of your story. So that final crescendo moment,
right,
of your story. And this will look very different depending on what genre you're writing, obviously, what style your book or your story is written in. But we hope that through this discussion, you will take away some key important elements, just things to keep in mind while you're writing and outlining and editing too, for that matter, that will help to strengthen the ending of your story and just help to make it more unforgettable and to leave your reader or your viewer with an amazing feeling that they then bring to the conversation about your story. And that's why endings are so important, because that's that moment that we end on, the feeling that we leave our audience with, is what they take with them to talk about your book or to review it, and to tell others about it. So, talking deep about endings today, that's going to be a great topic. I'm really excited to get into this. And if you guys want to check out that live training, the link to that live training is below this video. Obviously, it happened last month, but you can watch the replay. And when you get access to watch the replay, you also get access to my entire archive of previous live trainings where I talk about all different writing topics and publishing.
It's really become like a writer's university.
Yeah.
So it's such an invaluable resource for if you want that sense of community. You're in there with other writers who are on the same path and journey, learning from so much material and additional resources to help you in your writing journey. So it's you get access to so much in the community.
Yeah, a lot to explore there. So you can click the link below this video to get access to that live training. But yeah, let's get into the discussion because I'm excited to talk about this. But before we get started, we have to thank our sponsors, who are you guys. You are our patrons, our supporters of this show, and we appreciate you and value you so much. If you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep this podcast alive and free of interruptions. Okay, let's get into it. So, writing better endings, making an ending not just exciting, but unforgettable.
I think a lot of writers can get intimidated by this concept of needing to make the ending exciting, this big climactic moment, especially writers of contemporary or literary or romance, where things are taking place in the real world and it's not going to be this big epic fantasy battle or this intergalactic showdown that's happening. It's going to be perhaps small, more intimate moments involving family and friends, or simply the protagonist facing their greatest fear, or some small challenge that they've been working to overcome throughout the book. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to break down the fact that it's not so much about making the external environment and the external plot exciting and driving the story forward. It's more about the emotions happening inside the character that is going to have your reader on the edge of their seat waiting to see how this thing ends. That conflict that we've been threading throughout the book the whole time. And if you want to learn more about how to instantly up your internal conflict, we did an episode on that. The last episode we did of the podcast, which we will link down below, how you can go back through your manuscript and heighten the internal conflict just in little ways without having to rewrite or do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So another thing is that you talk about a lot is not having the stakes be the same for every character.
Yeah.
Which applies to any genre at all. Mm. Because wouldn't you say in any story there are stakes for the main character and the other characters involved?
Right. Yeah, there should be, for sure. But a mistake that a lot of writers make is making the stakes the same for every character, where it's like, and that's what I call passive characters or like punching bag characters, is when like what's happening in the plot kind of affects them all the same way. And they're all facing the same consequences if they, you know, fail to do what they have set out to do. And that shouldn't be the case. The consequences should be different for each character. And especially for your protagonist, they should be uniquely difficult to face those consequences if they fail to meet their goal, or if they, you know, lose in the climax or whatever they're pursuing, the goal that they're pursuing. And that's something that can be easily fixed, like Kate said, by upping the internal conflict. And you can do that in very small, simple ways. But digging more into who your character is, what is, how does this end game moment connect to the entire story and what they've been pursuing this whole time and what they've been going after this whole time, the fears that they've been avoiding, the misbelief that's been driving their every decision. And a lot of times with the ending of a story, you have this beautiful moment where your character arc comes full circle and your character learns something as a result of everything that they've been through. And it can be a moment where they finally wake up to the fact that their misbelief has been a misbelief this whole time. It's the moment where they realize their want is not their need. And what they need is actually outside the comfort zone of their fear that's been holding them back this whole time.
So really the climax can kind of be that moment where they finally climb over the wall.
Yeah.
Regardless of what that wall is, whether it's defeating the big fantasy army that's invaded, or if it's simply reconciling with that person that they've been at odds with throughout the whole book. Right. Or maybe it's reconciling something within themselves, admitting a truth that they had been pushing against the whole time, reigniting some passion that they had set aside on the back burner, telling themselves they would never be able to be successful at doing that. Mm. So there's so many different ways figuring out what is that hurdle for my main character.
It's like the proof of change.
Mm.
It's the proof of character development. That's a good way to put it. You know, it's they do something at the end that they could not have done at the beginning because of how much they've changed. And stories that are missing this just feel flat because the character doesn't change.
Right.
And to me, that's like so frustrating to see in a story when a character is, they don't really change as a result of what's happened to them. Even their perspective has not changed. And it feels like we've watched this character like go through all this stuff and kind of get beat up by the plot, but it hasn't really internally affected them very much. It hasn't really changed them very much. And this can go even for a negative character arc. So I'm by no means saying that every character arc has to be positive. Some of them can be negative. But the consequences of what happens and how this character makes active decisions, throwing punches back at the plot, shapes them into something slightly different than what we started with. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's just a perspective shift, it can be subtle. It doesn't have to be a huge 180 degree turn character arc.
Right.
It can be something very subtle. But that shift has to be there. I think. The change has to be there.
For us to feel that there's progress in either direction. And that we haven't ended on the very same note we began at. Otherwise, it feels like kind of just going in a circle.
Some people argue for like flat character arcs. Like, okay, flat character arcs are a thing. You can do that. But I personally feel like when I read a flat character arc, I feel like that character was only there to like serve a function for another character. Mm. And sometimes that can work if it's like a side character that we're not necessarily following a journey of change for them. But for the protagonist especially, I feel like an arc is so important.
Right. And even with a flat character arc, like, is that, that's kind of describing a character. Let's say they start out a great person and they end a great person. In the middle, they're a great person, or vice versa. Like, they're kind of the villain presence or the anti-hero presence, and they stay that through the middle and to the end, right? But yet the story really is still they're going on an emotional journey.
Right.
Like, you can totally start out with, hey, you know, I'm writing about a person. They don't really have any big conflict going on, and they're just, you know, a good character, and they end a good character, and that's just how it is. And that might be able to be considered a flat character, but there's still an emotional journey.
Right. They should
and
still
And that
struggle.
Emotional journey is the arc. It doesn't have to be so external. Like, they go from being like this villain of a person to being the hero. It doesn't have to be drastic. So, because I think even flat character arcs still have that emotional journey when they're satisfying.
Right. Because they should still struggle a bit,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
They should still have internal conflict that they're dealing with. And throughout the course of the external events of the plot and then their decisions and reactions and responses to that, they should be struggling within themselves of what to do, how to respond. Maybe if they're like a morally upright character and they stay that way through the whole story, then how are they struggling to make the right decisions?
Right, exactly. Right, so, because I think if you look at stories that have arcs like that, like one that pops into my mind is like Jane Bennett from Pride and Prejudice is kind of the same character that she starts out being.
Right.
And she sort of stays that way. But we see her emotional journey and how she just struggles with decision making based on who she is, based on her personality and her character flaws. And we see how that affects her throughout. So there actually is a character arc, even though she doesn't go from being, wow, look at her at the beginning, and then at the end, she's a totally different person. She's really the same. Her character stays pretty much the same, but yet there's still that emotional journey.
Right, exactly.
So I think, I mean, is there really such a thing as a flat character arc? I don't know. Like, I think there's always some layer of emotion, because isn't that what story is?
Yeah. Yeah, there should always be a layer of emotion and conflict, and otherwise the character is not going to be relatable.
Yeah, it's kind of subjective. It's really subjective, and it depends on how you're looking at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you could say, oh, well, that's a flat character arc. Or you could say, oh, no, I see that.
It's nuanced.
If you see these nuances, yeah. Right.
Another
so it's
character
subjective.
That comes to mind, and I don't mean to keep deviating off to flat character arcs here, but another character that comes to mind is Margaret Schlegel from Howard's End.
Right.
And she's kind of stays the same throughout the course of the story. And her character is very much, she has like this very strong character that stays very consistent throughout the story, but how she deals with everyone else's conflicts makes you connect with her emotionally and see how she has this huge impact on all the other characters.
Right.
Because of the decisions she makes trying to do the right thing.
And you see her struggle and grapple with that.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a great story example. If you want to delve more into nuances, Howard's End is like a masterclass in nuances. Like, go watch that. I can't remember what year it was done.
Like 2017.
It's like a BBC miniseries.
Yeah.
So good. Go check it out if you want to learn more about like just seeing some really good examples of like nuances and not having big drastic arcs. Also, really good ending as far as all around character transformation in subtle ways. Not a big climactic ending, but still super satisfying.
Right.
And so that's the thing to remember about writing an ending is it's not so much about what's happened in the plot. It's who have these characters become because of what has happened.
Exactly. Yes. And that's what we care about at the end of the day is not what's happening, but who it's happening to.
Mm.
Because we get to know the characters and their unique personality, their conflicts, and we start to care about them and sympathize with them. And that's what keeps us engaged and interested to see what's going to happen to them. It's not just the events of the plot and everything being, you know, high stakes and action, adventure, and exciting and perilous. If that was the case, then everyone would be writing that genre just to keep the interest of the reader. But right. That's not what keeps our interest. That can keep our interest if it's happening to characters that we really care about.
Right.
But we have to care about them first.
It doesn't have to be a life and death scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
In order for it to be engaging.
Even better if it's not. Yeah. Even better if it's not, because you're forcing yourself to dig deeper into, okay, how is this still high stakes for this character, even though they're not facing a life or death scenario?
Right. So you're not asking, like, how would that feel if it was me? Like, just your neurons are reacting to the action. Like, what would I do in that situation? You're not even so much connected with the character as you're thinking about your own responses, but you're thinking, how would I feel if I was them, if I was in their shoes? Now we're talking about connecting with that character. We're talking about stepping into their shoes, experiencing things through their unique lens that we're creating through the story.
Exactly. Yeah. So as you build this character up to this ending moment, asking yourself, how have they changed, even in subtle ways? How has their perspective changed? How have their decisions impacted other characters? And is that for the better or for the worse? And how are these consequences of everything that's happened in the plot so far going to culminate in this ending where the protagonist has to basically come to terms with who they are, who they've become, and how everything that has happened so far has led to this ending moment, this resolution? It doesn't necessarily have to be a total resolution if you're like writing a series and you want to continue into the next story. The ending can be a great moment to set up the inciting incident for the next book. That's another thing to consider if you're writing a series, that you don't necessarily want to tie up all the loose ends, but you want to make sure that you're giving enough closure while still keeping the door open for a new story, possibly. And that's one of my favorite ways to end a book in a series now that I'm writing this series with Kate. It's been interesting to set up the inciting answer for the next book at the end of the previous book.
And it's like opening a whole new can of worms at the end, and the reader is just like, oh, what is the next book? No! You know, so creating good. That right. That feeling. It's like setting up the next, you know, setting the stage. The stage.
So don't feel like you have to, like, I have to close every door and I have to, you know, tie up every loose end if you're writing a series. Because some things you can leave open for the next story. I would recommend that any threads or characters or subplots that won't be returning in the next book, tie those up as best you can, give some closure to those things, and then leave open some of those conflicts that you still want to engage with in the next story.
Right.
And see how you can, like, kind of bring a inciting incident for the next book into the ending of this book. That is going to be the best springboard, cliffhanger, whatever you want to call it, that will entice your readers to continue to the next story, the next installment.
So good.
But yeah, just even if you're writing a character arc that is not super dramatic, like we were saying, even if it's something more subtle or flat, you can still bring this spotlight, I guess, to the ending moment of your story, where your readers, your audience, can reflect upon where the characters have been throughout the course of the story and how every little decision has led them to this moment. And how has that had a greater impact on the other characters and changed things? Something has to have changed because of these internal struggles that these characters have dealt with and faced throughout the course of the story. And like we were saying at the beginning, the emotional aspect is the most important thing to focus on there. Not just, you know, what battles have we fought, what conflicts have we been through, and external conflicts, and how many times have we, you know, fallen off the cliff and resurrected and continued to the next conflict with the next set of whatever enemies. But it's more about how that journey and how those events have internally changed the characters. Mm. And like you said before, it's not how would I feel if that was me, mirror neurons are reacting, but how would I feel if I was them and I had those conflicts and I had those struggles and those doubts? And isn't that like the whole magic of reading, is that we get this opportunity to put ourselves in the perspective of a character,
right,
and understand their perspective,
right,
on what's happening.
And it causes us to stop and think. It makes us think.
Yeah.
It makes us, you know, it leaves us with a feeling. Isn't that what we want to do as writers, is leave someone with something to think about?
Yeah.
What is it you want your readers to be thinking about at the end of your book?
Yeah.
So that can mean delving into your theme. That can mean finding out what is the one truth that I want to communicate here.
Yeah.
What, like Abby was saying, this is what your readers are going to be left with. This is the closing scene, the final scene, the closing words. What do you want to bring to the table here? What do you want?
What emotions do you want your reader to feel too? You know, like what feelings are they left with? 'Cause that feeling is what they close the book and walk away with. And I know I, for one, have read many books where the feeling I was left with was negative.
Yeah.
Not good. And just kind of a downer. And that's something that I always try to pay attention to when I'm writing, is like, I want to leave my reader on this moment of just this really positive emotion when they close the book and when they walk away from it. And I want them to, you know, feel more alive, I guess, after they finish, after they close that final page. So examining just how do you want your reader to feel? That's a good question to ask yourself. On that final page when they close the book and walk away and go to review it, how do you want them to feel? Because that's the emotion that you want to be emphasizing and focusing on in that final scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I think we've covered a lot here about endings, writing books, and how to end them, and some things you can consider, you know, sort of recap. Focus on, not on making it exciting, but on making it emotional. Focusing on what is happening inside of your characters. What are the stakes for the main character? And is it different than the stakes for every other character? Focusing on how would that feel if it was me, not focusing on how would that feel if it was me, but on how would I feel if I was them, if I was in their shoes. Our neurons aren't just firing because we're reacting to the punches that the plot is throwing. We're actually identifying with what this unique, specific character is going through. Remembering that it doesn't have to be a life or death scenario in order for it to be engaging. But how can you take a very small, simple premise, but build the tension to a point where you have your reader on the edge of their seat, waiting to see what happens next. Coming to the conclusion, having your character come to the conclusion that their misbelief has been wrong the whole time at the end. Seeing where we started and now where we've ended up. What wall did they have to jump over to get where they are now? What transformation took place, even if it was a small one, even if it was a really slight shift in perspective and how they view themselves or their family or someone else that's close to them in the story. How did they transform? So these are some good points to build a springboard that you can then use as a mechanism to make your story better, a tool to continue returning to.
And if you want to dive deeper into ending possibilities, check out that live training I mentioned. Because if you're like, I don't know what ending to choose, should it be a cliffhanger? Should it be happily ever after? Should it be more of a tragedy or a hopeful tragedy? Definitely check out that live training. I think you'll get a lot out of it. A lot of ideas, a lot of story examples, a lot of fun. The link to that is in the description box below this video if you want to check it out. Also, Kate just released a new book recently.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I just released a new book. Finally, those of you who have been following along on my channel have probably heard me mention this nonfiction book I have been working on for the past year. I just launched it very recently, and it's called The More and the Less, and it's all about how you can use holistic, mindful practices to build and nourish an incredible creative flow. And I'm really just sharing practices I've used that have helped me in a lot of ways. So it's a little bit of everything I talk about on my channel. A lot of what I've also talked about here on the show that Abby and I have collectively talked about. So I'm just sharing a lot of those practices that have helped me to be a more creative individual. So if you want to check it out, I published the book myself on my website. I designed the book from start to finish. I'm really proud of how it turned out, and you can grab your copy if you'd like to with the link that's down in the description of the video version of this podcast, which is available on youtube.com/kaymmons if you're listening on some other platform.
Yes, for sure. And comment below if you're on the video version of this podcast and tell us what you thought of this episode. Join the discussion. We love to hear from you guys, and we so appreciate your listening and giving us a nice rating on podcast platforms. It means so much to us. We also so appreciate our patrons of The Kate and Abby Show. If you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow to help us keep this podcast alive and free of interruptions.
It's also a great way to join our monthly discussions that we have every month. It's like a small group setting, like if we all got together and went to a coffee shop so we could discuss stories and all things writing. That's what we do over in our Patreon live stream that we do every single month. And we get to chat with you guys in like more of an intimate small group setting where we get to like do Q&A and talk about updates and ask you guys for your opinion on things we're going to be doing in the future. So it's kind of like our little VIP circle thing, but it's more like just a friendly, fun meetup. So if you want to join that, check out the link for our Patreon, which is where we do that at the end of each month.
Super
fun. We'd love to have you. We'd love to warmly invite you to join.
Every tier gets access, so it doesn't matter what level you join at. But we appreciate all our supporters over there. You help make this show possible.
Definitely.
We value you guys so much. So thank you for being in the Patreon community. Thanks for listening to this episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And until next time,
stay stoked
and rock on.